Hi, this is a Life of Learning podcast. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hi, Sook.
Hey, Reggie.
Right, we finally got to the third film in our So You Think You Know Bollywood series, and this one's called Super Deluxe. You chose all these films. The first one was Dangle.
Yep.
Yep. Second one was Bahubali.
Yep.
And we did part one and part two because we just couldn't stop at just doing part one. We had to do part two. And this last one is called Super Deluxe. So what made you choose this one? I'm just interested.
Oh, well, because obviously I wanted to pick films from different film industries in India. And this is from, I think it's the most second biggest film industry in India, which is the Tamil film industry. And it's not a regular Tamil film. This is obviously, it's a very independent film. It's almost what they would call an art film in India. But I watched this film and I was blown away by it. So I thought I'd recommend this one and stick it in our three.
Well, again, you chose another absolutely brilliant film. And when you describe it to me, it was just right up my street because one of my favourite films of all times is Pulp Fiction. I'm not sure whether that's up there with you. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I've got a poster of Pulp Fiction in my cinema room.
Right. I'll tell you a story about Pulp Fiction. I think I was away on a course for work and I was by myself and I thought, okay, let me go to the cinema. And I thought, okay, what's this film, Pulp Fiction? So I went to the cinema, I went by myself and saw this film, Pulp Fiction. So I actually saw it on the big screen. This was years and years ago. And I came out of the cinema and I said, what did I just watch? What, you know, it was just so mind-blowing that you think, I mean, I haven't watched it since. I probably should get a chance to watch it again, but it's just so iconic.
I think Quentin Tarantino has done some amazing films, but that is my absolute favorite film by him, Pulp Fiction. Because I've watched Reservoir Dogs before. I watched it on VHS. And then when this came out, the posters for it was everywhere back in the 90s. So I went to watch it in cinema and I was blown away. Pulp Fiction is, I'd go and say, one of the best films I've ever seen.
Yeah, and I think it's just the storytelling of it because you have three stories. Well, Pulp Fiction, I can't even remember how many stories there were, multiple stories that all merged. And this was almost a similar thing.
Yeah, so I think in this one there was four stories. I think there was four stories in Pulp Fiction as well.
I can't remember. I watched Pulp Fiction. To be honest, I thought there were three stories in this one. But you could probably make this a chance of four stories. But I tell you what, we'll go into the sort of like the high level overview of each story. So I mean, the one that's probably, I don't know whether it's the most memorable, I suppose, is the one where little boy's dad comes back after a 7-year break. And before we carry on, spoiler alert: we are going to go and talk about everything in this film, all the spoilers.
Yes, and in this film, there are a lot of spoilers to be spoiled.
Yes, there are. There are loads. So please go and watch the film, come back, and then listen to this podcast because we don't want to spoil it because I didn't know anything about the film. And if I had got spoiled by some of the things, it would have detracted from how much I like this film. So, that's one story where a young boy, well, I say young boy, little kid, he's probably about 7 or 8. He hasn't seen his dad for many, many years. And his dad comes back as a transgender female. So that's one story. Can you remember the other stories then?
Right. So there's the story, which is one of my favorites, I have to say, is where the woman cheats on her husband and her lover dies in the bed. And then her and her husband have to deal with this dead body. That was number two. Number three, I would say, is the kids who were watching a porno and it turns out the porn star was one of their mothers. Trying to remember whether, I'm sure there was a fourth one.
See, I don't remember the third, because those are the, for me, those were the only three that I could actually see as a third story, as three stories.
Okay, but what
Yeah.
there wasn't the religious one as
Yeah,
well?
but that was the dad, wasn't it, of the porno mum.
Yeah, that was the father,
Sorry,
but
sorry, not the dad. Yeah,
yeah.
the husband of the porno mum.
Yes, that's it.
Yes. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. So that's the three stories. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, so those are the three stories. So okay, so you've already said it already. So which one of the three stories did you like the most? I mean, I thought all of them were fantastic, but
I mean, they were all great.
yeah.
But the one that I liked the most was the one with the couple and the dead body. Because there was so much stuff going on in there, and even though they had such a bad marriage, in this kind of emergency, they did work together, And obviously, there was the revelation at the end where the husband finally stuck up for his wife and saw her as a wife. Yeah, it's a story of forgiveness as well, which I don't know if you caught that in there.
There was a story of everything. There was a story of maybe two people getting together and really not, basically some of one person not thinking that they're good enough for the other person, because the wife was quite really attractive and he didn't think he deserved her. And
Yeah.
there's lots.
But not only that, from day one, his interaction with her wasn't very good, because there's one point in the movie where he comes home not knowing that there's a dead body in his house, yeah? And she offers him a drink, like a cold drink, because he's just coming out the heat. And he gives her a bit of a look, like it was a quite a nasty look for someone who's just giving you a drink and you have no idea. So it kind of showed a lot about how the marriage wasn't a great marriage.
If so, if we're on to that story, then for me, each story sort of like developed, then they hit you with a sort of like a shock scene. And for me, I thought the shock scene, because you think, okay, they were making love and the guy dies making love, so you think, okay, so there's no way that she's got time to get rid of the body. Where could the body be? And then he looks in the fridge. That's the shock moment. You think, oh
Yeah.
my goodness. And you think,
Yeah, that
right,
was brilliant.
now the story's
Yeah.
going to take off.
Yeah, but I felt like it hooked you straight away when she's trying to move the body at one point by herself, and you're thinking, you straight away connect with the character, and you're like, oh my God, what's she gonna do? And especially because the place they lived was like a block of flats, So it's like getting a body out of there without being seen would be very difficult.
Yeah, but I thought that. But then there was a sort of like a lull when you think, okay, what's happened? Where did she get rid of the body? Then all of a sudden he looks in the fridge, and the well, I mean, we can start talking about the camera angles of this whole
Yeah.
film, because
It was amazing, the camera angles.
I mean, even the camera angle of the body in the fridge was
Yeah.
taken from the fridge body outwards. So you
Yeah.
open a door and you see the reaction on the actor's face.
Yeah.
It's it was yeah, go on. You can talk about the cinematography and the camera angles. We could talk about those all day, but
We
yeah, I'd
could,
like to
but
hear
one
what
thing I
you
should
think.
mention is the one thing that hit me with this film when I first started watching it is the color. It's like on a different planet. It's quite amazing. It gives it such a unique look. And even where they filmed, they shot wonderfully in all these tiny alleys and stuff, and amazing, amazing cinematography.
Yeah, I've never seen any film like this where they consistently, I don't know, look and be really creative and look for different camera angles. How are we going to do this scene? Right, let's think of something, totally that no one's ever done. I mean, I don't watch as many films as you do. Have you seen a film that's done this many sort of like, not surprise, different camera angles and different shots? I don't know.
Oh, do you know what? What it is it comes down to one thing. So the other two films we watched, Dangal and Bahubali, they were high budget films. This was more of a low budget film. So you have to get more creative with stuff. So I've watched a lot of like independent films. And even if you look at, trying to remember the guy's name now, the guy who done Hot Fuzz and the Cornetto trilogy. The director, I'm trying to remember his name. Oh, it's gonna drive me nuts now. But you've heard of Shaun of the Dead?
No, I haven't, no.
Okay, Hot Fuzz?
No.
Okay, well, these were British films. Okay, there was a TV show called Spaced many years ago. Yeah, okay. So, what happened was the director made these three films, Shaun of the Dead, and camera angle wise, editing wise, his style is amazing. So that's another one to look out for, kind of thing. In the Cornetto trilogies, what they do with just lighting and stuff, it just makes the story more interesting.
Well, as I say, this film, it was unbelievable, some of the camera shots. And some of them weren't even focusing on what was actually going on. You could just hear it in the background, what was going on. You didn't actually physically see what was going on, which I thought brought it a different perspective. It just made you think. And that was consistently throughout the whole film. So in terms of the first storyline, which you mentioned, there were just so many great one-liners, and so many performances or monologues where I think probably, I don't know. I mean, for me, one of the funniest lines was Star Wars, when he said Star Wars, and there was quite a lot of Star Wars references as well, as they were chucking the dead body in the mattress down the flight of stairs. You had the Star Wars theme tune and stuff like
Yes, you
that.
did.
So
And also, I should add with them to their two stories, one of the funniest things I found in that story, there was a bit where he was left in a car with the dead body, and he starts having a go at the dead body for having slept with his missus. And then he starts like questioning, like, oh, like about the guy's penis. He goes, "You must have like a fantastic penis." And then he just stops talking and looks down there. And then it just cuts to her coming in the car later on. And you always think, did he have a peek at the dead guy? The comedy in that was brilliant.
And it's that's subtle, because some people probably wouldn't even have could have missed that, and there were so many things like that as
There
well.
was so much stuff like that.
I thought that another one was when he had that monologue. His wife said, "Just let it all out. You seem like you're really angry and frustrated. Just let it all out. Act like as if you're drunk." And that scene was just so funny. And when the wife said, "Right, have you finished now?" She goes, "No, I've got more." And it was just so. And he just kept on going and going and going. It's just, just to be in the writer's room and actually sort of like thinking, right, how are we gonna, get a dialogue and really make this funny? And it's kind of because you mentioned about the marriage as well, and both of them had they both had things about each other that they didn't like, but they did say. But I think that's like in all relationships. Not everyone's perfect, so you take their flaws as well as
Yes,
their
of course. But I did find it in the film, a lot of the problems with the marriage were from the guy. Because I don't know if you picked up on this, he cared too much what other people thought about him, like his community, his family, everyone kind of thing, his caste. And that was driving like almost impossible standards upon his wife to begin with.
So on that one, was he of a higher caste than his wife or not? I
No,
couldn't pick
they
that
would have been
up.
the same
Would have been the
caste,
same caste.
but he actually mentions his caste and how important it is to him,
Got it. Got it.
in the film.
I think there's some dialogue about that, but I think people should watch that, because I can't I would yeah I couldn't remember what the dialogue is, but it was some sort of like social commentary on that as well, in terms of what's
Everything was like, he didn't really care that his wife cheated on him. He cared if other people found out
Got it.
his wife cheated on him and things like that, because that would mean something to him. So that's why it was so important, that moment where he's handcuffed and he wants to rescue his wife. You see a complete change in him, because if things had gone the way they were going, his reputation would have been intact, right? He would have stayed out of jail, but he gave all that up in that moment when he saw his wife as his wife for the first time, I
Yeah,
think.
yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's a pretty good story arc, really. Really, really good story arc, yeah. So I'm assuming you said that was probably one of your my favorite
Yeah,
storyline.
out of all, it was favorite because the tension of just getting rid of this dead body and obviously the comedy, it was so good. I mean, I liked all the stories.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, and yeah, there's no point. I won't mention about the police officer and
Yeah, that's probably one of the most vilest characters I've ever seen in a film.
yeah, he was just horrible.
It was so cringy.
Yeah, he was so horrible. And put it down to the actor who played it, put it down to the script writers, the directors, and the people that wrote that type of character, because you can get characters that are really vile, that you can see that they beat people up and stuff like that. But this guy was, it just seemed to come across worse than those sort of characters.
He did. It's probably the worst because it's like he wasn't even hamming it up. It was, I don't know, he was just oozing cringe like throughout the whole thing.
That storyline was just unbelievable. It was a roller coaster. You just didn't know how it was going to play out, and in the end it played out quite well.
Yes, it did.
Okay, so the second well, we'll go to the second film, and this is where that the sort of like that this one kind of links in. Does, yes, yeah, well, all of them linked in. We'll go for the porn star one, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I have to say, I think when we're talking about the fourth narrative, I do believe that one splits into two, because then it becomes about the boy trying to exact revenge on his mother and the remaining friends trying to get a TV.
Yes. Okay. You can. Okay. But it all spurns from that one storyline, doesn't it? So
So the
yeah.
root of
So
it is, yeah.
I'm not going to argue with that, with you on that one. Yeah. Okay. So that one where that was a night. That was a quite a nice build up in terms of setting all the sort of like pieces in place. And then obviously when the son sees his mum on the video, then it just sort of like just takes off. And as soon as he gets stabbed, boom, that's what sets off probably everything. Yeah.
That was because that was quite a funny, not for the boy, but the whole setup of it and the fact that he breaks the guy's TV as well because he's so angry. I think it got really serious when you kind of realize what he's going to do now.
I mean, okay, do you think he was actually going to stab his mum?
I think so. I think in India that is considered like so shameful. Because remember, it's a culture that has things like honor killings and things like that.
Sure, yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I've not really grown up there, but from my understanding, that's a big deal kind of thing. A lot of shame upon the family and stuff.
Sure. Okay. Well, so obviously the son gets stabbed, and then basically they're trying to find the money to basically get him the operation to save his life. Essentially, that's kind of that storyline. And then you've got two other sort of like storylines that get spurned on that one with the dad,
Yeah, the dad and his religious
religious.
belief.
Yeah, religious belief. And then you've got the other guys trying to find the money to buy a TV set.
Yeah, they go to a gangster and everything. Obviously, there's a hilarious scene there where they end up breaking the gangster's TV set as well. So now they need two.
So in fact that's funny, because that just gets out of control, really, doesn't it? It just gets out of control in a hurry.
Do you know? And they were going to get off light because it was just like, I think it was just like they got a slap or something. It's the one boy that wouldn't take the slap, which ended up breaking the TV.
And just, I mean, that's realistic. That's realistic. He didn't want it, and then obviously they paid the price. Yeah, no, nah, yeah, that was good. And I'd have to say that the three characters that we saw, just their I don't know, I wouldn't say it was comical, it wasn't saying it was cartoony, but each of them were distinctive. You know, you couldn't get them mixed up in terms of, you know, the way they looked, and their characters were, you know, very different, but they were all good friends, and they all were, you know, it was nice the way they bonded together to you know, to sort of like try and, you know, get the new TV, which I thought was good.
There was a bit of because obviously it then went into some weird alien kind of story, and I thought this isn't really in keeping with the with you know the film so far. But not only that, it was a bit of a what's the word for it? Is it a MacGuffin where it's just an easy fix to their problems, which doesn't really align with the film?
Okay. Because I've listened to some podcasts and, well, video reviews, the people that reviewed this, because I really wanted to find out really what other people thought about it, because I thought, wow, this is, as soon as I saw that, I was thinking, again, what the hell am I, what have I just seen here? What I've, you know, it was almost like the Pulp Fiction moment. I'm thinking, what? So I listened to what they thought about it, and because some people said it had nothing to do with the film, and some people said, well, do you know something? If you believe that we're the only people on the earth, and if you don't believe, if you believe that maybe we have got aliens living among us, then why not have the alien as an Indian woman in a film?
No, so the whole thing is, right, it wasn't really in keeping with the movie, if you understand what I'm saying. Yeah, I mean I do believe there's life out there. I mean, I don't necessarily believe they're living amongst us, but even if that is so, with this movie, it was like all of a sudden these kids have a problem. Oh, here's an alien to sort it all out for them, you know?
Yeah, and I think even if they didn't use the alien, they could have come with some way of coming out of their problems anyway. They could have had some creative
So
way.
yeah,
They
they
didn't have to go and, you know, create an alien for that. But I don't know. I suppose there's the bit at the end, isn't there? Which I can't remember. There was a monologue at the end, which I don't even want to break down, because we could break that down and, you know, talk about, you know, relationships and you know, you think you're the only one here and stuff like that. So, but I, you know, I don't really want to go into that. But I whether it was there for the wow factor, whether he had a reason, it'd be interesting to find out. So do you want to go into the dad then, of the son that got stabbed?
So with the father, he is part of a religion now, which got created. I think it's when that tsunami happened, and he ended up grabbing something when he was in the water, which saved his life, and it was like a wooden angel.
Yeah, it's a statue.
Yeah, so he kind of praises the statue now, and he's created his own kind of religious thing around it, which obviously there's a lot of questions about blind faith in this movie and just believing for the sake of, you know, believing kind of thing. To the point where there's a morality question, because his whole thing is to be positive all the time and things will work out, even when his son gets stabbed and they don't have the money for the operation. But he obviously, with the trans character, Shilpa, she tells him a story of something she did, and she believes she's being punished for it. And it was quite a dark story, which kind of made him question that. And again, with cinematography, they were in a dark tunnel, and he ran towards the dark when he found out this story. I think that's a point where in his head, he must realize, no, just blind believing is not enough. There's dark stuff in the world.
In fact, I didn't, at first I didn't realize that it was the boy's dad that Shilpa was speaking to. So that's the way that tie-in comes in as well. I mean, the stab boy story kind of played out quite well. Obviously, they managed to get the telly, When I managed to get one telly, they were going to offer the gangster a 54-inch TV instead of the one that he had before. And then they throw the telly away, I don't know, into a warehouse.
On the
And
roof of a
that's,
warehouse.
sorry?
On the roof of a
A real
warehouse.
warehouse, yeah. And that ties in with the first story that we told about with the couple.
Yeah, it does at the end, which is.
And that is a wow moment.
Yeah, it was. Because, like, at that point, you're like, what's going to happen? And then that happened. And then you were like, whoa.
It tied up the story really
Did.
nice and neat, really, didn't
Yes,
it?
it did.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean that's a big wow moment. I mean, if you've not watched, if you have to watch the film
Yeah.
without all these spoilers, because it would just detract from your enjoyment.
It will. It's
Yeah.
for sure.
So that was for me. I think the Alien was a wow moment. That was definitely a wow moment. Right. Okay. So let's get on to the transgender dad who went away and came back. So, okay. So what was your view on this story then?
So this was probably my second favorite story. I think the actor who played the transgender woman was really, really good. To the point when at one point she's sexually assaulted, which they don't really show, but the setup to it, you kind of cringe for her. It was like such a horrible thing. Really good. I loved his son in it.
Yeah, so can we just come back to the sexual assault one? Did he know that she was a transgender? Because that's the bit I couldn't work out. Did he know?
So
He did.
basically in India there's a word they call hijre, which is like what they call transgender, but it's not transgender. It's like a hermaphrodite born with both things. But he was definitely transgender because he had an operation, but he knew. Yeah, two things I should mention with hijra, that there's a belief about it because they've been around for so long that if they give you a blessing, you will get lucky, and if they curse you, you will die, like something bad will happen to you. And there's a bit where she goes and she smiles at a guy and he gives her money. That was for the blessing. And then when at one point he puts a curse on the police officer. And then that's probably what, if the curse was true, that's probably what left to the TV dropping on his head kind of thing. So this is kind of like the, what's the word I'm looking for? The law around Hijra. So
So he the policeman, which was his, forgotten his name now. Is it Nelson? No, forgotten his name now. Anyway, he was the he knew that she he was trans transgender.
yeah.
He knew.
Yeah.
Okay.
I
Wow.
think he was
Okay.
just a filthy pervert.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. All right then. Yeah. I mean that scene was. Yeah, the build up to that scene was was terrible, and that made his character even worse than it was already.
Yeah, but you know what really is scary in that thing? Even like the constable, he was a bit afraid for her when he turned up and you could see it on his face. Yeah.
And you could go on to sort of like just corruption in. Any police force around the world, and it's
Yeah.
just, it's, superiors taking advantage and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, so then you mentioned the son. You said the son.
Yes, his little son was just amazing in it.
For me, he was my favorite character.
Yeah,
He
a
was
lot
my
of people
favorite.
said that to me.
Yeah, he was my favorite character. He just had such a energy. I mean, this young man's acting was just unbelievable. I couldn't, you just, he just lit up the whole screen. He just lit up the whole screen, the whole film,
Yeah.
brilliant casting.
It was absolutely fantastic. And that, in fact, that whole story, I love at the end when the whole family want him to stay, even though he's transitioned. I think this whole film is generally about non-judgment and acceptance and forgetting what society tells you is right.
And it's really, when you think about it, it's pivotal about three women, really, because obviously the marriage couple, she committed, adultery. The mum was in a porn film, and obviously, the transgender mum. Again, it's a woman, so it's I didn't I, when I suddenly when I look back at it, it goes, oh yeah, it's really about women and how they're perceived.
I mean, I can totally see it that way as well. But I generally think it's also about it's about judgment, I think, more than anything, and how, because India is very much a place where you look good for others to look good in society. And a lot of these people have to let go of that in this film, you know? Including the son who couldn't take that his mother was a porn star, and obviously the husband who didn't want anyone to find out his wife cheated on him, or you know, and obviously with the family who were ashamed that the husband had transitioned into a woman, they all let go of this by the end.
And it was the son just wanted a dad, didn't care whether the dad was a woman. He just wanted a dad. And let's face
That's
it,
it.
there's a lot of sons out there and females that just want a dad.
Well, that's it. And you know what? I think, yeah, fatherhood is something that's in trouble, I think, in society.
For sure. For sure. I mean, this film has just got so many levels. I mean, we, as I said,
Oh,
we could talk about,
totally.
we couldn't cover, we could talk about this for days, and we still couldn't cover everything that, that's come up in this film. I mean, anything
You
I
know
would
what? I
do.
think this is one of those films. If you can't really do it justice by discussing it, the only way you really understand what this film is like is by watching it.
Without a doubt. And I think you sometimes need to watch it again because you're going to miss a whole load of stuff.
Oh, for sure. I think when I first watched it, I watched it like 3 times. So I gave it a few days, watched it again, gave it a few days, watched it again, and I just thought, wow.
It's a, yeah, just let everyone know, it's a, well, everyone that's going to be listening up to here knows it's a 3-hour movie, so
Yeah,
which is
well,
kind of typical to.
Indian first cinema. But it doesn't feel like 3 hours.
No. It's every scene made a difference. There was no sort of like scene that didn't, that was that would, oh, you could have got rid of this one. Every scene was pivotal to the whole story.
I have to say this was a fantastic film. And I honestly believe they will never make another one like this because this film is that unique.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen more films than I have, so you'd know whether there's anything. I mean, anyone that I know would be Pulp Fiction, and I'm not even sure Pulp Fiction was this deep.
Pulp Fiction was amazing, but yeah, like on a deeper level, it wasn't that deep. Not when it looks into relationships and you know things like that. Yeah, but Pulp Fiction is just cool. All I can say is the coolest film ever. Yeah, I mean, there's obviously with cinema, there are some amazing films, but like you have to go through a lot of not so amazing ones to find the ones that you absolutely love, and then bring something to you.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jason, what you've done for me is you've chosen three really good films that I've liked. You've done all that hard work for me, and you've shown me, and you've told me three fantastic films that I would never have probably watched. And yeah, these are amazing. I mean, I think I'm just trying to think out of the three which one I like the most, and I don't want to talk about recency bias because all the films that I saw were fantastic, but because this one is just the storytelling and the camera angles and the cinematography and just everything, I think this is the one where, if you have to watch it again, whereas the other ones, I don't think you need to. Well, I don't think you need to watch it again, but this one, there's just so many things to bring up, so many different things that I think this is probably my favorite out of all of them, but all of them were very, very good.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be hard pressed to choose. I'd probably agree this is the best made one.
Yeah.
I think with you, Dungle really hit you very powerfully. It's very much about fatherhood, and I think you were just you'd connected to that one. You have to say this was my favorite out of the three. I'd have to now think about it, but the others are just amazing. But I'm glad we watched it. I'm glad we watched it in this order as well, where you started with Dungle, then Bahubali, and then this one. Very three different types of movies as well.
Oh yeah, for sure. One was sort of like fantasy, one was sort of like deep in sort of like real life relationships and family and stuff like that. Whereas this one was just everything and the above.
Yeah, this was it. I remember the first time I saw this film, like I said, like you, I was blown away.
Unbelievable. Yeah. So yeah, thanks for choosing this one. This was yeah. I mean, all the other films were good. This one just edges it out. Just edges it out. That's what I would say.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I mean, I have to say this one, and obviously it's done on a lower budget. So I think you get more creative if you have to make a film on a low budget. That's why you pick better angles, you know, and stuff like that.
But I mean, the acting was unbelievable. I mean, I know that the mum, the porn star mum, was in Bahubali. I recognised her from there.
Okay.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
recognised her. So yeah, just everything, the casting, the directing, the script, the cinema photography, like you say, the colours. I mean, for me, you know, if I was to, oh, this is for me, 10 out of 10, 10 out of 10, without a doubt. I don't even think about it. It's 10 out of 10.
I have to say, I believe all the films I picked are like 10 out of 10, though. You know, this is 11 out of 10.
Dungle, 10 out of 10. Bahubali, yeah, 10 out of 10. But this one is, yes, yeah, 12, 12, yeah, out of 10, yeah, for sure. Now, you mentioned that you wanted to, because we've finished this series now, you mentioned at the beginning, before we came on the call, that you wanted to bring up something about the film
Yeah,
industry.
so
What was
obviously
it?
we've only seen a small fraction of Indian cinema and the different industries. If we had more films, I would have liked to do because there was a golden age of Indian cinema where a lot of Indian films won awards at the Cannes film festivals in the 50s. And there's a director, Guru Dutt, who I really like, and I would have picked some of his films. So they're all worth checking out because that was like the creme de la creme of Indian cinema at the time.
Do you
It
want
was
to
Indian.
mention those to the audience so they can, and we'll put it into the
Okay,
show
so
notes as well.
my two favorite is there's a film called Pyaasa. It's about basically he's a poet, but nobody appreciates his poetry. So at one point they think he's died. And then all of a sudden they start printing his poetry and it becomes really successful. And then he comes back, but no one wants to share all this wealth with him. So they pretend he's not the guy and he has to prove that he's the guy to, you know, so it's all about how people don't appreciate art. That was that movie was about. I'm trying to remember the other one, Patrick Kapoor. That's one where he basically he's a filmmaker in it, funny enough. And he basically he has a relationship with an actress, and it's about that relationship, and again, not about being able to express yourself and stuff like that. Really good films. There's also, as Bollywood was going on in these film industries, there was a separate film industry called, which they called art films, but is also called parallel cinema in India. And some of those are amazing. Those are with no songs, no dance, they're very basically like independent Western films. And there's quite a few good ones of those that I'm trying to think from. I think there's one called Udaan, which is about a boy who has to live with his father after boarding school, who's quite abusive. Again, fantastic films, but there's so much other cinema from India that is just amazing. But obviously, everyone just watches Bollywood.
Well, they think they're watching Bollywood.
Well, they think they're watching Bollywood, you're right.
Okay, yeah. So I would say, well, when we first started this project, we had the three films. We finished them all. And I'd have to say it was probably down to me because I don't really watch films, and it's just to getting the time to do it. But for some reason, it just said, okay, let me put on this super deluxe, and then let's see how it goes. And I think we normally record this around the Christmas time anyway, don't we? Or the festive season. So is there any sort of, I'll tell you what, one thing I will say, I'm glad we've done this project together because it's really got me to open up to watch films. I don't watch any films. I think in the last few years, I've only watched Indian films, and these are the ones that we've been watching the last few years. I don't watch any films. I prefer series. So, but you've chosen some really, really, really good ones. So, I'll just say, thanks for coming up with the concept, and I've really enjoyed the journey on this one.
Already, I would say we should do this again, but with a different set of films from a different industry, maybe, or a different genre.
You spoke about this already before. So you come up with a concept, and then we'll do it. We'll do it again with another film industry. Yeah,
Okay, brilliant.
yeah, yeah. Okay then, Sook. Thank you
All
very
right.
much. I'll say everyone should watch all the three films. So that's Dangal, Bahubali 1 and 2, and this one, Super Deluxe. All really, 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 really good films.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I would say good films. Amazing films.
Yes.